Hello, 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 and welcome to yet another TRC podcast where I'm your host, Dane Hennin. To my right is empty air because Levi is actually at home right now, but he will be popping in digitally. So there he is. There's Levi. Wonderful. And to my left, Anthony Fisher.
What's going on,
also
guys?
In the room here. Now, Levi, just let's get this out of the way. You're not sick, but what's going on? Why are you at home?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. It feels like every time we come home and do these, like, we always start out and none of us can hear each other. So,
oh, no, this worked fine. I was rolling with it because I could hear you. So I was like, yes, just go.
I just want to make sure because
yeah.
I know when Anthony has been home or when you've been home, like, it's like as soon as we start, mm-hmm. like, our audio home doesn't really work. So, no, my child is sick. Hadley, I went and took her down to go get COVID tests because she woke up in the middle of the night and came into our room and she had a extremely high temperature. About 1 o'clock in the morning, she walked in and said, I can't sleep. And we checked her temperature and she was at a 102, 103, and it kind of freaked us out. So got her some Tylenol, got her some ice, put her out on the couch, opened a window, let her go to sleep out there. This morning she was chipper and fine, but I still scheduled a COVID test just to be safe. And the rapid test came back negative, still waiting for the PCR test. So right now she's just chilling on the couch. And so I took her to go do that and then ran home and got my laptop so I could do this. So,
well, you're here now. So that's good.
That's where we're at.
All right. Well, okay. So now that we got that out the way, any housekeeping before we start today's proceedings?
Yes, housekeeping about that. So I guess jumping into it, right, we are pretty slammed right now here at the Rag Company headquarters. Amazon is popping off right now, and uh-huh. I think we've officially reached the detailing season, right?
Yeah.
So I was joking around that we have our detailing kickoff sale in March, but I think March is still maybe a little bit too early for some people, where April really starts kind of
There's a noticeable spike in April.
Yeah, I think people are finally starting to get warmer weather. They're like, okay, I'm ready to wash my car, do all that stuff. So needless to say, yeah, I mean, Amazon we're really busy with, obviously the store we're really busy with, and a lot of P&S chemicals going out, a lot of people, you know, picking up their Brake Buster gallons, Bead Maker gallons, you know, a lot of Express, all sorts of things, right? Getting ready maybe to coat their car with G-Technic products. Maybe they're looking to, finally try out the Koch Chemie products if they haven't tried them out yet. So it's been fun. But with that said, Sternegloss is still be set to launch here the second week of May is what we're going for, roughly around May 10th-ish is when everything will be onboarded and hopefully on the website, because I know people are itching because...
And if it's not the 10th, don't get mad. It's going to be around that.
Yeah, around
so
that time.
Don't expect it to be perfectly on the dot because we're at the mercy of however it gets shipped to.
Yeah.
But,
well, the other thing is we have loaded everything onto the website, so people can go on the website and you can see where it says sold out at the moment. It's because it's just not in stock. So as soon as the product gets here and it's inventoried and we make sure we didn't lose anything or anything got damaged, those numbers will get inputted and it'll be live. So stay tuned, folks. We're super excited about it.
Yeah. Also, I mean, a lot of our Grand Ambassadors have been, who picked up the sample kits. I've been seeing content on the sample kits, which is awesome. A couple of them are in here right now, which I love seeing that. I think it's really cool. I know some people... You know, like Alex, right? You know, Bucky, Alex Dewar, right? I'm going to start saying that, right? He picked up his
We're going to call it Dewar now.
And so we finally got a lucky winner for the fuel can with the Stekkita air freshener.
Okay.
And so I know that person's going to be receiving their can once it gets in. Or I believe that Jack is shipping that out. So we have that going on. And then also, I mean, if you guys weren't aware, I mean, I think it's super cool, but I mean, Jack is a familiar face in more than one platform. So if you guys ever want to get lost on the internet and enjoy some awesome videos, head to Top Gear's YouTube channel.
Yes.
And watch Jack be part of the clean team and actually... clean vehicles. Clean all sorts of. I mean, they cleaned a tank just yesterday, which is crazy. I think the videos are really entertaining. I think Top Gear is doing a really good job with the production. But also, it's unsaid in the videos, but the products that they're using are in fact Sternegloss product.
Yeah, it just being that it's on like a big network television show and stuff, they can't necessarily like throw labels up and like show you all that stuff. But just so you know, when you're watching it, you're seeing Stjarna being used.
So, for example, on that tank, right, which I thought was super cool, they were pre-spraying Force, right, and Force.
They're cleaning a freaking tank with it, dude.
With Force, which was awesome. But just check out the videos. Like I said, Jack is such a good personality on the Top Gear channel. And it's just cool that, you know, obviously we're hearing his product line. So other thing Alex is pointing out, the Grand Ambassadors are totally killing it. I mean, the new Grand Ambassadors that we pulled in for Q2, like I said, everybody is just so cool. You know, we wrapped up all their phone calls last week. And so... Coming into this week, they have all their coupon codes set up. So if you're not following them, maybe follow them to pick up a coupon code or two to use on the website. And then also they're going to be getting their products hopefully as soon as possible. And they can start, playing with some new stuff and, having fun there. But other housekeeping things are, we've talked about this before, but, our parking lot right now looks like Mordor. It is Middle Earth right now out there, and I can't even recognize what it once was.
It's crazy. It's
there's literally pits in the ground. There's mounds of dirt. There's all sorts of stuff, and they're getting after it.
Yeah.
It just we're really hoping we can start pulling into this parking lot normally soon.
I know. I drove in the red truck. And I thought I was going to scrape.
That's impressive.
I was going to get high centered on that ramp. You know, it's such a low vehicle,
Yeah.
It's truly quite possibly, I think, the lowest car in the entire fleet at TRC. That little red truck. Pretty sure. I think it's documented that way.
Yeah.
But, you check the specs. Yeah.
Yeah. So other housekeeping things, though, I think that's... For me, pretty much it. We have a new video with Ivan coming out here tomorrow. Dane, you know when that video is coming out?
I'm going to double check with Gabe, but it should be coming out this week.
This week, okay. So we have a new video with Ivan coming out.
We shot a couple bigger videos with him, so I'm working on reviewing final touches on at least one of them. But I think I know the one. It's probably the one Glenn worked on. So that's going to be a head-to-head battle. That'll be fun.
I think it's entertaining. I think it looks pretty good. So, cool. Anyways, I think we should probably just jump into it, unless you got anything to buy.
Well, the biggest housekeeping is that Thursday we have Dave Phillips in the studio for Ask a Chemist for Thursday Q&A. So make sure you guys get your questions ready to rock and roll that you can talk to and, see what you want to, maybe pick his brain on something. So we'll have that. And then I want to say thank you to all of you that are in the comments that watched the premiere yesterday of live of me and Ivan's interview here at the MOSHQ. it was a lot of fun. We had about 40 people at one point watching, so I was pretty stoked about that. I had people texting me and sending me pictures of them watching, and it was just fun. It was a good night, and just thank you to everybody that watched. If you guys hadn't watched the video, Ivan just interviews me in the MOSHQ, and we just sit and kind of talk, and it actually was pretty fun and turned out really well. The audio was, didn't really do justice of the MOSHQ, but because the furnace kept kicking on while we were talking. But anyway, the point was thank you, everybody that tuned in. Checked it out, watched. It was great. So
yeah, sweet, cool.
Nice. So that's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we had an Easter weekend this last weekend, and I'm sure it was probably more exciting for some of us, right? And so, Dane, how do you spend it? What did you find the Easter bunny?
Did you eat some candy?
No,
not find the Easter bunny. Found some eggs.
Okay.
Were
they real eggs or fake eggs?
Well, they felt pretty real.
Okay.
But they were way too, like somebody took a bedazzler and just
really,
really ran it around the thing.
Do you care for an egg in this trying time?
I could always care for an egg. Danny DeVito. So as far as the weekend went, obviously with Easter being this weekend, family got together. We kind of used it as an opportunity to tie together my aunt's birthday, Aunt Gwen. Yeah. So it was nice being able to go over to aunt from my dad's side of the family, Mei Li, we went over to their house in Cuna, and we had the birthday and Easter and everything all wrapped into one. So oh, wow. That was kind of like our Easter celebration on Sunday there. Was getting together, having a wonderful brunch. And, yeah, they got a really cute little house over there in Cuna. Mm-hmm. Just nice yard, peaceful. You know, kind of out and, you know, they're in a subdivision. But it's far enough away from everything that it feels kind of, like, pleasant and quiet and isolated. And, yeah, no, just really nice out there. I had a great time. Everybody was happy. And, yeah, no, nothing too crazy. We watched the adventure video, as all are wont to do, because some of them hadn't seen it yet. So, of course, my parents were like, you got to see it. So they pulled it up, and they loved it. They love seeing all you guys doing your thing. So that was fun.
We love them. Yeah, I was going to say, your aunt and Kelly are awesome, great. Man. I mean, they're so cool. They're cool chicks for sure. And so I'm glad they liked it.
Yeah, no, they really enjoyed it. And, they were excited when they saw the Cuna case. They're like, oh, that's what that looks like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because being out in Cuna, they're like, we heard about him. I haven't actually gone to him yet. So, yeah, that was fun. Yeah. As far as other stuff that went on this weekend, my weekend's pretty short. You know me, always doing something around the house, but not really, but kind of. This time I was deciding to take after my dad a little bit, see if I could, warm up the old green thumb. Really just kind of get back into that botany spirit.
What's interesting, right, is Dane, right, just through, I mean, osmosis and just through his heritage, I think Dane is
naturally...
It's in
the blood.
It's in his blood, a green thumb. Like, I was going to say...
I don't exercise it very often, though.
If Jeff... You know, Dane's father had a superpower. It'd be that he could pretty much grow anything with leaves.
His
right?
yard was designed and maintained by him. So like, it's impressive.
100%. And it looks professional. That's the crazy thing.
No, well, he's extremely skilled at that.
And like I said, I think it really is just something through, you know, it's in your soul. It's in your spirit. Because what happened with your backyard and your previous house, I mean, it was like 17 years worth of growth.
I didn't have to do anything. It grew itself, but not necessarily the way I would have wanted.
And you had yourself a jungle. I
did have myself something of a jungle.
It wasn't pretty, but I mean, hey, it was in fact a jungle.
It was. It was in a place that really shouldn't have a jungle.
But now you have the landscape and you have the yard space for what could be said jungle, right? Now, Dane, I want to know.
Yeah.
On your terrace that you have, you own an entire hillside, right? Who's picking the
half
weeds out there?
Yeah, that part I'm not too stoked for.
Because weeds are going to grow up there.
Potentially. I'm going to keep an eye on it to make sure that doesn't happen. That is a lot of property.
I've got an idea, Dane. You could call that goat company that drops off goats at your place for like a couple days.
Goats would love
that. And you just let
them
eat everything. Yeah, they just eat it down, and then they annihilate it within a two-day span, and then you're done.
Just don't put the pesticide down before.
Okay.
Don't put pesticides down, but rent some goats.
Goats on this hillside.
Honestly, that sounds kind of awesome.
Dane, you should consider 12 that. 12 goats there. That would just be hilarious content.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
I think
that'd be
awesome.
It's fenced. They'll be okay.
Yeah. No, I could literally just like, I got the fence gate, just close it and like, all right, you guys get free reign of the hill.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's literally what they do.
I like that. Well, so I was getting some ideas. Obviously, in the thumbnail today, you could kind of see like a little bit of my string lights that I've been putting up around the deck and a little planter I put in between the garage doors because there was a very dead plant that had been sitting there for a few months now. And I was like, it's just kind of a bummer every time you see it. You want to kind of freshen up the place. So,
Dane, but here's my problem with standalone plants, right?
You got to remember to water them.
There's like a standalone plant policy, right? Mm-hmm. Much different than a bagel policy. Well, but I mean, what you have to do with these plants, you have to drag the damn hose or you have to get a container and go and do that.
Can.
It's every day.
Well, I do it every couple of days. I don't do it every day.
Is there a reason behind that?
No, you just space it out more. It's in an area where it's shaded, but it still gets some sunlight in the morning.
Do you like to do?
I just use a watering can.
No, I mean, like, do you like overflood it?
Nice.
I kind of overdo it.
Yeah, you soaker.
I let it sit for a day, and then I go back 2 days later, and then I'll do the same again.
You ever check the pH of that soil there?
I'm sure it's off.
Did you buy potting soil, or what did you?
I got proper outdoor potting soil.
Okay.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm not a total soil moron.
Well, you want to make sure that soil's not high in alkaline. So you want to buy a soil acidifier, puts acid back into the soil. Yeah. So that way it brings that pH down. That was the problem I had.
So this particular one, these seem like they're fairly hardy flowers. So I should have a relatively easy time taking care of them. Time will tell. But I like the little elevated planter that came in, had some little wooden legs. It just made it look a little nicer, put it out front. And, you know, it's a nice little display, and they're kind of a magenta color. It's just a nice little pop of color on the front of the house, where otherwise it's mostly just gray and white. So not a lot going on, but it allows a lot of opportunities for accent colors to kind of pop up around the place. And it, the more I looked, I realized that there's really good homes for, like, some planter boxes. Rather than just putting a planter box, I'm looking at the driveway of this area where it, like, slants down in front of where the deck stairway starts. And I'm thinking, boy, if I could just level that area or, like, build a concrete block, like, form and put that there and make a planter box there with a drain at the bottom, that would be pretty cool at the base of the water.
So there's a bunch of curbing forms outside right now. You could just take those, put them in the back of the van, just take them from the construction site. You have to pull those spikes out of the ground and the wood, but but you could go just take those and use them.
Well, I was looking at it and thinking, like, that would be pretty cool to be able to, form and level some concrete. Because that's the hard part. It's like, my driveway, the leveling is going to be the biggest
pain. You
talked
about a plan for that.
Yeah, I had some ideas for expansion. I'm not touching that yet until I get the other restoration stuff taken care of. I just wanted to make sure, like, money flow.
Where are we at on the home?
Well, fun update. I had originally... The two of the three bathrooms had been taken care of. They were fine. And that's been the case for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And the top bathroom, where the incident occurred with the bathtub, like having the water flow down and all that stuff, the bad stuff, the whole reason all this happened with the having to go through insurance and everything, that upper bathroom has not been touched yet because of a number of things. It was a custom tub that was in there, hard to find. They had to build like a pony wall for it that goes in front of it, and then you place the tub in. Yeah. It was a big process. And that needed to happen in certain phases. And, of course, contractors getting any right now, that's a pretty tough thing to do. So when you go through a restoration business or whatever, it's kind of a crapshoot how it's going to work out. But the people I've been working with have been great. Been really happy with them. Just timing-wise, stuff had to line up. So in this case, the tub arrived from the plumbing company that they ordered it from, and when it showed up, it was damaged. It had like a hole punched in it. It was cracked. It was
oh my gosh! So not a drain hole. An actual hole.
Yeah, no, the thing was not good.
Weird. So it's got a hole in it. Send it back.
Basically, they're like, crap, we got to warranty this now, and sorry, but the next one won't be available for another month. And it's like, okay. So then my restoration company I'm working with said, we're going to talk to one of the other suppliers that we were getting bids from, see how soon they could get something out here. The price shouldn't be too different, but it would be like a runner-up option. So we're like, all right, we'll do that. So they got it, but they're also going to be like 3 weeks, so it's a one-week difference. But, you know, that's the way we're going. So, yeah, it's just one of those frustrating things. This has been dragged out since late January, so that gives you an idea of how long these things can take, especially in this day and age. But, that's the unfortunate thing there. Once that's handled, then I'll focus my attention elsewhere in the house. It's just I'm trying to stick to outside stuff that I can do myself that are smaller things. So, yeah, practicing the old green thumb, got some plants. Liz got some succulents to take care of because, you know, it's hard to kill a succulent. But she got the proper, you know, cactus potting soil and all that stuff. And we have a nice little, display going around various places in the house now with real plants mixed with fake plants. So you have to kind of... I'm sure you got the right one.
Yeah, new game. Little game of Russian roulette when you're watering, huh?
Basically, yeah. Otherwise, you're just watering plastic.
Yeah. Hey.
But, I just, it's a small gesture, but I think it goes a long way towards making a house feel like a home. So having some plants in there, I know people get discouraged, like, oh, all I do is kill plants. A lot of the plants today are pretty hardy. They can take a beating. Not that you're trying to be difficult, but, like, give it a chance. Better oxygen, you know, in your home, that kind of stuff. It's just a nice little bonus. And plus, you know, you get to look at something green in your house during the day. It's not so bad.
Yeah, I think I'm more not a fan of the bugs that sometimes surround house plants, right? Like sometimes you get those little gnats.
I was gonna say maybe you've found that.
I think that's a trash can, Anthony. That's not a plant.
I don't get that trash can that you haven't taken out.
I have seen like also gnats
caused by rotting fruit.
Yeah. Well.
Oh my God. I can't post that, G.
Oh.
I'll have to pull this up and see.
G. Davis, rest assured, I am laughing at your joke, but I can't post that. Mean B, what detailing product do you recommend? Let's pull that up. Do you recommend Dave for making plastic plants look real? Well, you know, some gloss on them would be good.
A little bead maker right on the leaves.
Yeah,
a little
bead maker, although you don't want to seal them up. You want them to breathe, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got to make sure that they have a semi-permeable coat.
That's important.
Yeah, thanks, G. So, that's my super exciting weekend. Other than that, I took Callie to the vet. She came back, passed with flying colors. The vet was very impressed. She goes, wait, Callie, your dog, Great Pyrenees Red Heeler Mix, she's 12 years old? And I'm like, yeah, she's 12. She goes, but she has all her teeth. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I look over, I was like, wait, that's not normal? And she goes, no, like out of all the dogs that come in here, she's got to be one of the absolute healthiest we've had at this age. It's like, oh,
holy smokes.
Okay. She got good genes.
You are doing something right, Dane.
So, all right, cool. And I got, you know, results back from the blood tests and urinalysis and everything they took on her. Because I hadn't gotten her to go take a checkup in years and years since I got her started.
Yeah.
So that was something that just happened here this last week. And, yeah, apparently the results just came back and she's the healthiest old dog around. So that's pretty cool. I was happy to hear that.
That's good.
You always wonder, as your dog gets older, you can see like their eyes start to gray and you know, little things start to happen. And like you don't want to get choked up, but you're like, uh-oh, is this the beginning of the end? Are we okay? What's going on? Yeah. No, apparently she's doing good. So hopefully that continues. But yeah, that's my weekend pretty much. So how about you, Levi?
Oh, thanks, Dane. So my weekend was pretty light, pretty simple, pretty easy. We didn't do much. I had a detail that I worked on for one of my clients and picked it up at their place on Saturday. Had it basically done by Saturday afternoon, dropped it off and got paid for it. So that was nice. Quick and easy detail. And then Sunday was, you said, Easter, which it was great. So we went, hung out, just took a bit of lazy day. Then we went to our annual Gates family Easter egg hunt for money. So Augie was practicing all week for it by finding eggs and hiding them in his room and then picking them up and putting them in a basket. You know, it's the things you got to do. You got to stay limber and, you know, work on that hand-eye coordination. So Augie and Hadley were ready to rock. We got over to the park. We went to Marianne Williams, where Anthony got married. And
that's true.
My parents had rented the little canopy, and so we had a little potluck. It was great. There's only about six kids there. But what we do, Gates family tradition, is you bring cash in the denomination of quarters, Sacagawea dollars, dollar bills, $5 bills, and you basically buy in. And so the way we did it was I brought two $10 rolls of quarters for my kids and put that in the pot. My dad dropped some money. My uncles dropped some money. My cousins, they all put in basically anybody who had children or grandchildren that were hunting put into this pot. So we then divvy up the money, divvy up the eggs, mark how much the denomination of each egg is, and then we hide the eggs. Now, I've been trying to send a video to Nick all day. It's not working. So you're just going to have to put this in your mind's eye. Maybe I'll post it in the group so people can see. But Augie was literally moving at the starting line, waiting, just like waiting for the gun to fire so he could take off and chase them eggs. And as soon as it hit, they just went, all the kids went scrambling for it. We gave my nephew, who's like 2.5, like a 5-minute head start. He only picked up about 3 eggs in that 5 minutes. But Augie flew through the course, picking up as many eggs as he could. He was racing his sister. At one point, he tried to knock out one of his cousins for an egg.
Jeez.
Needless to say, it was quite the blood sport. When all was said and done, they then take their eggs over to two of my other cousins who were bankers, basically, and then they count up the eggs and the actual money denomination, and then they give the children that their hard-earned cash at the end. So my little two-year-old nephew, he had secured some cash, about $30. So really good for being 2.5 years old. Hadley came away with $62.
Well, that's good, a healthy...
good hunt for, yeah, that's a good Sunday's work, right?
Yeah.
And then Augie walked away with $97.
Jeez.
That's money.
One of my cousin's daughters, she's 8, same age as him, she had 107. So needless to say, these Gates grandkids went away with quite heavy pockets. It was funny to watch because Augie was so excited to have that money, but he was cracking all the rolls of quarters and Sacagawea dollars he got and was spreading it around. And if Carly and I hadn't got it contained, I swear it would have been a scene out of like Indecent Exposure where I walk into his room and he's just rolling around on quarters and dollar bills. And it just wouldn't have been good at all. So, and then it took everything in our power yesterday to tell him not to take his money to school to show his friends. Cause that was the next thing. He was like, I'm going to put all this in a bag. Let's take it in there. I'm going to show them what I got out of my Easter egg hunt. It's like,
That's always just like a big sign that says, rob me, mug me,
steal from me. Good.
When
not
I'm not
good,
looking, walk away with it. Yeah, no, that
seems
good.
Yeah, please take this from me. But yeah, no, so it was, needless to say, it was fun. It was eventful. It was exciting. But we had a good time. And the weather turned out to be pretty nice. I was really worried about it because it was kind of cold. But that's been the way we've done our Easter egg hunts since I was a kid. However, when I was a kid,
Thanks,
but
Jim.
You know, we did it when I was a kid, and when I was a kid, you'd come away with maybe $13 or $17 because you had nickels and dimes and quarters, denominations on the eggs, and this time it was ones and fives, and
that's pretty aggressive.
I think there was even a $20 egg, and I looked at my cousins and I was like, why did you guys make them so high? And he's like, because I didn't want to count up 50 cent eggs. And I was like, fair enough. That makes sense. He's like, a couple $20 make it a little easier. So, it was fun. And, but we just kind of hung out. And then we went over to Carly's mom's, had a beautiful lunch there. I was stuffed after eating at the potluck and then heading over. And Carly was like, save room. And I said, oh, I will. I didn't. I was stuffed. And then the weather was so nice yesterday, I wanted to get I got all the cars washed. So I washed the Elantra, I washed Carly's car, I washed the red truck, got them all washed up this weekend because it was so nice on Sunday morning. And I thought, I'll just start washing some cars. And Saturday morning, I washed Carly's car and had the Elantra washed Friday night. So I was like, the only car I hadn't washed was the Suburban, and I hadn't washed it since the dirty rain. So needed to get that stuff off. So I washed it last night and I thought, man, got that car looking all sharp, got my fleet all lined up in show position out my driveway so the neighbors could really look upon the beauty that is the MOSHQ. And then I thought, I'm going to go for a bike ride. I went for a bike ride around the neighborhood last night in the middle of the, it was dark. It was like 9 o'clock.
But okay. It was super nice.
Took my headlamp.
It was mild.
It was beautiful. It was mild. Yeah, it was really nice. I was like, this is great. The only thing that wasn't good was my physical being. I haven't been on my bike all winter, so I was a little sore. I don't have a Peloton like Anthony, so I could be riding inside in comfort. So I thought, well, I'll just go ride. Now, I was coming up my street, Harmony, at the very end of the ride, and all of a sudden, about probably block away from really at the end of my street, my light went off, my scan grip just dead. Total blackness on my street. Not many street lights. Total blackness. I swear I see a raccoon run out in front of me. Right when that happens, I then slam on my brakes and swerve. Now, I am a little unsteady on my bike because I haven't been on it in the whole, you know, winter time. Yeah, and nearly go over the handlebars, catch myself. However, I impaled myself on my handlebar and have left myself quite the wound on my gut. And then my chain ring came around and scratched, and my pedal scratched the back of my leg. I've got a bruise on the top of my leg from where my top of my leg hit, my quad hit the seat, the steering post. And then I've got a scuff on my knee from where my tire hit it, like my rubber tire hit it.
You're lucky you didn't wind up like Coach Jack in Winning Time.
Oh my gosh, I am, Dane, I felt like, oh, and then my chain came off.
Ooh,
so I'm in the pitch black, and I'm like shocked and in pain because I've just gutted myself by this pull. It could have been, in fact, the Meridian Marmot.
Yeah.
But needless to say, I felt like a 10-year-old little boy who just wrecked his bike and had a skinned knee and was like, I'm like a block from home and I cannot see. I pulled my phone out. I was trying to use the flashlight on that so I could get my chain back on. And, I'll show you guys my wound tomorrow or later today when I come in. But it is, my stomach is hurt so bad. It's so painful and tender. But it's quite the abrasion on my gut. So, I felt, my pride was pretty much hurt for that. I came home and Carly's like, how was your ride? And I was like, my hands were all black from my chain and my gut. And I was like, and I showed her my stomach. It was bleeding. She's like,
oh,
what the
God.
Heck? I'm like, I ought to go take a shower. And then I'm Googling while I'm in the bathroom, like making sure there's no like internal damage and what does internal bleeding look like. And making sure I'm okay.
The first rule of internal bleeding is that it's not external bleeding.
That's right. Yeah. There's still some abdominal trauma, but so I woke up this morning, I'm a little bruised, a little battered, so, but yeah, other than that, that was it. Mine was super light, super easy. I believe I got a car coming in today that I'm going to be working on all week.
What car?
And then I just heard, I have no idea, it's my friend Rod Page, who used to own Boise Muffler, is bringing in one of his cars, so no idea, so. We'll see. But he's dropping it off for me to work on this week. And then I've got a car for the weekend as well. So pretty tight this week. So
lined up. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well,
Anthony, what'd you do? It was a baby's first Easter.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was exciting. Let's see. So Friday night did a couple things. And so... I think right when I got home, we did some Easter egg dyeing, right? We dyed some Easter eggs. That went okay, but we ended up dyeing the baby instead, right? And so...
Oh, dear.
Right? That's what I'm saying. So...
Is there a picture of this?
There is. It's on my Instagram. Oh, okay. Sorry. I should probably just send it to Nick. But Katie obviously saw this idea on TikTok, right? Mm. Where you could dye whipped cream... And then the baby can, you know, put the egg in whipped cream and hopefully some of the food coloring transfers over to the egg.
Interesting. Right? Okay.
The idea is correct, but it doesn't actually work.
So it's like finger painting with whipped cream and dye.
Well, you just get like these very, what are those called? Like opaque colors? Or you get like this very...
So it's semi-translucent.
Pastels. It's like pastel egg dyeing.
You're not getting a lot of color.
I mean, because it kind of freaked me out. So what we did is we got her, we got her basically... stripped down to where she could just kind of make a mess, right,
sure.
And play in it, because she can grab things now and all that, and it's just really fun. And Katie mixed up all the dye, all the food coloring, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's quite a bit of food coloring that might stain her skin. You're going a little bit too heavy. And she's like, no, it's not that bad. I said, go a little lighter there, and go figure, right? The more you need the food coloring, you need like heavy dye to get the correct look of the egg. So again, because that it kind of came out like as this pastel egg color, but it was a lot of fun. She's so cute, and she absolutely loved it. We got her like this big, like it's a rubber ducky pool, but it's like, it's not big, it's relatively small, but we just set her in that and
it's
had
like
her
a pool
do the,
floaty?
It's like a pool floaty.
Okay.
I had her do the egg dyeing process in that, right? Made the most sense. So
keeps
she,
her
she
from
made,
moving
too much.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
that
keep them
deal.
Clean, too.
Keep
them
clean.
Yeah. Clean up.
Yeah. So that, and after that, I went and watched Katie's Forerunner because I also haven't gotten to that since the Dirty Rain.
Ooh.
And so what I found is that that rain, whether it was the mineral deposits,
a lot of minerals,
whatever was in it, it did end up kind of like staining most trim, right? So all the trim I've seen, it's kind of stained. It's left behind some water spots and a little bit, not an etch, but it's definitely like a spot of some sort. And so, yes. There we go, G. Thank you. But from there, what I ended up doing was I pulled it out, did a quick wash on it, used GSF, you know, hit that in the foam cannon, and then I used Nano Magic right in the bucket, right? Because I thought GSF is in the foam cannon, a little bit of Green Star, and then hit it with the Nano Magic in the bucket, right? And that would be a good regimen because I'm adding a little bit of cleaning power to my soap, and then I'm also adding a little bit of protection, you know, once I get to the bucket wash. After I did that, all I could see were the water spots from last summer that have still been on that, on the front of the table, right? Because it got hammered. I think it was just one day last summer, just parked in the wrong area at work and just got hammered with these water spots. Mm. So it's like it's my life, story of my life, right? These water spots follow me everywhere, right? So after I cleaned it up, I felt the hood, and I'm like, okay, it's kind of rough, and it's got PPF on the whole, almost half.
I was
going to
say, what kind of protection was on there before you?
It's got a half hood PPF, but the entire front bumper is all PPF'd, and then it's a half fender. So it's
no
kinda
coating
like a part,
or anything?
Honestly, a bead maker on it, right?
Okay,
and the bead
just,
maker held up okay, but that rain ate through a lot of that protection, right? So I ended up busting out the clay towel, giving it a quick clay, going over it. And then I was, like, sitting there. It's, like, 9:30 at night. I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, I've already clayed and decontaminated it.
Yeah.
Why not just polish it at this point, right? Because I'm like, I haven't polished this in a while. So I hit it with a little last cut, got the water spots out, and then I was, and then again, I look at it after polishing it and go, I'm like reaching for some Parla. I had some Starglass Parla. I was reaching for it, and I go, well, I mean, I've already gotten this far. Why not coat it, right?
Yeah.
So then I pull out some CSL that I had left over, and then just went over and just did a quick coating.
Okay.
Now, my goal is to – I want to recoat that entire car, and I need to get a dent taken out on the hood, and there's one on the rear corner. I want to get taken out before, you know, spending more time on it, because the dent on the hood bothers me the most. I see it every day when I walk past it, and I think an icicle did that, like, 2 years ago. So I don't know how, but it just did. So did that, and Saturday was – I started out as a rainy day. I'm thinking rainy day vibes, right? What am I going to do today? Well, I thought, you know, what's better than rainy day vibes? Junkyard vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's something about going to the junkyard on a Saturday, right, when it's nice and calm. Mm-hmm. I thought, maybe I'll go on an adventure. I'll see what I can do. So I went out to the Jalopy Jungle, right? First, I was on low fuel on the Dodge Ram, so I threw in some Chevron Complete Tekron fuel system cleaner. And
responsible adult,
you know,
move there.
Well, I figured, Dane, with the truck being, you know, sitting for so long, I've been driving the CRZ everywhere, right? It's 10 miles per gallon in the truck, so why would I drive that? So gas been sitting a little old. Threw in that Chevron Complete Tekron.
What's it cost to fill a tank in that thing?
$99.05 is what it cost me on the Dodge Ram.
I put $25 in the Suburban yesterday, and
the needle didn't even move.
Hit a quarter. It didn't even go. It's underneath a quarter of a tank.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Yeah.
I got a 30-gallon tank.
Tough, right? Tough. But I bit the bullet and did it. But I went to the junkyard and had quite the experience, right? I found quite a few different things. I found a CRV gauge cluster, 5-speed manual gauge cluster,
which are
pretty rare to find.
That's your Easter egg hunt.
It was my Easter egg hunt, right? And found a Lancer wagon there, which you don't see too often.
That's
stole
cool.
a couple out of that. Saw a 1980 Datsun 210, right?
Yeah.
Which the interior there was some stuff in that interior.
My grandma used to have a Bluebird.
It's haunting. So. But what I did take is I took the owner's manual because I thought that was kind of vintage, right? Levi, it's crazy to think. That 1980 Datsun 210, right? That vehicle is how
that's
old
That's what
now?
My dad owned.
It's 42 yeah, years
it's same
old.
Same age as me, 42 years old. No, that's what my dad had, a red 210, four-door.
Did he? Yeah, so classic this was a guys. Coupe, I think. The one I found was a coupe.
Yeah, it was a two-door. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway,
kind of
so
a style,
spent some time.
It,
just yeah. so many interesting things I found. I see at the junkyard. But then I met a friend there who was asking me.
Oh, a friend there. You knew this guy?
No. Oh, okay. This guy came up to me.
Just a junkyard friend. It's just different a kind of friendship.
Junkyard friend. He came up to me and asked me if I knew anything about cars. Yeah. And, well, me, I don't really know. I know a little bit. Not a
hey,
lot.
You're here. You must know something.
Well, he wanted to know if he could take a different mirror from a different car and put it on his car. And I said, well, what do you mean?
But did he
explain.
Know what kind of car he had?
Yes, he had a Chevy Cobalt, but what he was wanting to know if he could just take any mirror from another car that was the same blue color as his car and put it on his car, right? And I told him that that's just not going to work. That's not going not gonna work, and it might not
well,
look
Well, he was
right.
thinking he wanted some tow mirrors, probably.
I don't know what he
tow mirrors on a Cobalt, but it's a tow ball now.
I said it was well. At first, I was wondering if he was asking me like, "Hey, can I take like a different year of a Cobalt mirror and put
like
on a
yeah?"
Because like
right
I
or like a
out.
Pontiac or like a like a Chevy Spark or something like
something
that.
Something like that, right? And so and that's what I was thinking. I'm like, maybe it was a Pontiac, right? But there's no Pontiac. But he's like, I want
get
this
yourself
Cobalt.
A G5
he's like,
mirror.
I want this particular color and this Cobalt mirror. But there's another color that's very similar. I want to put it on. And I'm like, no, man, that's not gonna that's not gonna look right, right? So did that. But then I had that part of my first part of my Saturday. Came home for a little bit, spent some family time together, and then on I think in the evening, I knocked out a rear sprocket change on my Triumph, right? And this was something I've been needing to do for a while because I've noticed on that motorcycle, whenever I have it the rear wheel up on a stand and I could spin it, my chain had what would consider be a tight spot, right? So if you're rotating a wheel and you're watching the chain would actually go up about like a quarter of an inch and then settle back down. And it's been like this for a couple of years. I never knew why. I've replaced the front sprocket. I asked everybody what it could be at because I've never experienced this. And they said, oh, it's probably the chain. So I replaced the chain, right? Still, there is an issue. So I thought, well, maybe it's the rear sprocket or maybe it's a warp drive shaft. Like, what could it be? So I ordered a new sprocket from Super Sprox, which is a replacement for the one I have now, which it's a Super Sprox 42 tooth 530 with chain, right? It's probably that chain I have is one of the strongest chains you can get. That sprocket is considered the strongest sprocket you can get, right? Like, literally, it's like the creme de la creme of
sprockets.
They're
the beefy boys.
It's the beefy boy. I found out that I warped that sprocket. Somehow, some way, shape, or form, either it was a torque issue with, like, literally the bike just having enough torque to warp the rear sprocket.
That's an impressive amount of torque.
Or it could have been maybe in an over-tightened chain for a period of time. I have no idea. All I know
it's
is
all
that
the wheelies and burnouts you do.
It's clearly.
It could be the wheelies. But
you
hooligan. I did a sprocket change, which I've never done before. I run a rear. I've done it on the front. But the rear, it was pretty simple on a single-sided swing arm bike. So I threw that on, fixed my issue. I was like, no way, right?
Was there any difference you would notice while riding that presented itself?
I
was
it
just
yet.
Kind of invisible until you actually saw it on the back there?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't ridden it yet, so I put everything back together. But what I like, though, I like working on that bike for some reason because I feel like I've had it for so long, you have like the confidence just to take on jobs that you wouldn't normally have confidence of doing. So I did that, and then Sunday was a good day. We went over to my parents' house, and we took Lucy there for Easter and had our first Easter egg hunt. We dressed her up. She was super cute, and we had some good food. We had kebabs, right?
Ooh, fun.
We had some kebabs and all sorts of, you know, things like that. And, you know, me and Katie did our own Easter egg hunt, got some scratch-offs, right? I made like $5.
Ooh, that's
six
fun.
Bucks I made. I was pretty stoked. And it was just a good day with my family. I mean, like, it was just a good day. We, you know, like I said, you get to hang out. We went on a nice big walk. And it warmed up quite a bit on Sunday. Like,
it was
an unexpecting amount. So overall, though, I mean, I think I knocked out quite a few different things. I want to get to more car-related stuff.
Sure.
I got that CRZ's body kit thing booked for paint, but that won't be happening until April or May 5th.
Where are you getting that done?
So I found...
I remember there was a big, you know, issue with the guy. We trust our painter. He moved, so...
Well, the thing is...
Well, Dane broke it. Dane broke him, so... Yeah, Dane's fault, we lost him.
M3 was the last job that he did. Paint that M3. Or his coupe. His whatever the heck it was called. Your Roadster.
It was a Z3 Roadster 3.0.
The Z3 Roadster.
Yeah, not M3, but... you broke my painter. So he moved. He hated that job so much.
That's not true.
I'm without a painter, right? So
he didn't make any money.
So funny enough, Levi, I start asking some my other guys around here. I asked my tire guy, right? Because everybody has a guy for everything.
Right.
It's my tire guy. Hey, who's your paint guy? And he says, oh, Auto Express. And I'm like, Auto Express? Where's Auto Express at? He's like, oh, you can't miss it. He's like, it's right off of Fairview and Curtis. It's right next to this sandwich place.
The Great Harvest.
The Great Harvest.
Yeah. Oh,
that's my sister-in-law owns. Yeah.
So I said, oh, I think I know where that's at. So I went to this guy. Guy was, you know, nice guy, and he kind of quoted me. But, I mean, really affordable. I mean, he's told me roughly about $500 for the full kit.
Wow.
And, which is better than better than the $1,300 I was quoted from the previous guy. So
yeah.
I was stoked on that. But it was funny because I pull up into the parking lot. I talked to him. I said, hey, man, I'm like, the Great Harvest is right here. How funny. I'm like, my friend Levi, his sister-in-law owns a place. And he goes, did she used to own it or does she currently own it? And I said,
like,
the way he said it, I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that much about the whole situation.
Yeah.
But it sounded like if
they don't get along.
It sounds like if she currently owns it, then he doesn't like her. But if it was an owner in the past, he would be okay with her.
Yep.
So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to stay out of this and have you just do what you do.
That almost cost you a few $100.
That was close.
I find that relationships fail with my painters pretty often. And
So I can say that she will say that she doesn't have any problems with him, but I do know that there is an animosity because the landlord that owns that building, that whole complex, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law offered to rent that space so they could expand the restaurant because they currently have one unit, then Auto Express, then their unit. So they already have two units in that complex. So they said, hey, we just want to rent this. We're going to knock out this wall, and we want to build the restaurant bigger and our bakery bigger. And the landlord's like, nope, I'm renting it to this guy who's putting it in a body shop. And this is the weirdest. The thing is, that is the weirdest little location for that body
super
shop because they only have like two parking spots.
The parking lot is
no
so
back,
small.
There's no back space out of there. And the actual space is probably 1,500 square feet, if that. It's tiny. It's a tiny little spot.
Maybe it's because
it
he has such small overhead that he's able to charge such low price.
I have no idea.
He just paints small parts. Huh. So he doesn't do cars.
That's the only way. Yeah.
He doesn't do full cars.
So what I'm hearing is I should take my bumper there.
He just does bumpers. Yeah. He does bumpers, hoods, and he's like, I prefer that you install them yourself, right? He's like, I can do it for you, but he's like, I prefer that you do it yourself. And I said, then you're my guy then because I'll do everything myself because I don't trust anybody to do it. I want to do it. So, so it worked out for me. But anyway, so that's off. So that stuff will be getting done here eventually. But one thing I noticed this weekend, I was doing some introspective thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Introspective, right? When you look within, right? You're looking within and doing some wandering,
You're looking inward.
Looking inward. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, where the heck has all of my energy gone, right? My actual, my true energy that I once had as a youthful man. And it's really hard to explain this, right? Do you know what I'm talking about, Dane? When you were young, you would wake up and you would just feel good.
Yeah, well, apparently it's at a people tribe there, so.
So, do you know what I'm talking about, though? You know when you're young, you're like, well, it doesn't have to be any particular age, but just when you're young, you'd wake up and you'd be like, wow, I can't wait to tackle this day, right?
Oh, yeah, no, there's a certain, like, bountiful energy that's just somewhere in you that's always ready to go.
It's always ready to go.
And then you cross a certain age threshold, and that goes away.
Well, and you're physically and mentally able to do what pretty much whatever you need to do, right? I mean, like, that's where, you know, if you're waking up for school, in high school, you're waking up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, you're getting ready, not a problem, right? It's okay. That's just how life is. I could still stay up late or whatever it might be. And then I was thinking, okay, going into the early 20s, you move out, you're living on your own, you still have all this kind of energy, you're finally a little bit more independent and
you
whatnot.
You
got
to be scrappy sometimes.
You got to be scrappy, like, sometimes.
You're probably working a manual labor job.
Something like that. Yeah. And then, exactly, I did work a manual labor job. I was working
because I played sports, and then
garden.
When I stopped that, I gained a little weight, and I was like, oh, I don't like that. But I was still working, like, a lot of manual labor jobs. And then somewhere around my mid-20s, when I started doing this, and it turned, after the initial labor job, turned more into a desk job, I've now ballooned up. And
well,
this is not fun.
So, but I mean, like, and I don't know what, I don't know what it was, because the thing was, it's not even, I was thinking to myself, even when I was getting into the bodybuilding stuff and I was doing all of that and super into fitness, right, I still didn't necessarily feel good then either, because I was hungry all the time, and honestly, I was just probably unhappy, because even though I looked great, mentally I didn't feel great, because I'm like, you know, I'm like depriving myself.
That's
I'm
not
enjoying this.
Good for you long term.
And you know, it wasn't a lot of fun. But I'm trying to think of that time in my life where I basically woke up, I felt good, and what I was doing at that time, because I look back and I think, well, I didn't eat any better than I do now. If anything, I ate worse, right? I was probably still drinking energy drinks, so I was still doing all these things. So what I was wondering is, how can you feel good again? Non-artificially.
Well, you become a vampire and you drink the blood of people half your age, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, is it truly an age thing? Because I know older guys who, you know, and this never resonated well with me, right? But I didn't understand.
They exude a youthful energy.
Well, they exert youthful energy and they go, I feel good, man. I feel alive. And I'm like, really? I'm like, what are you doing? And I didn't think anything back in the day. I just thought, you're a weird old guy, right? But now I'm like, what are they doing? And
well, because pretty soon you're going to be that guy, you hope. That guy's
positive.
Probably taking some kind of weird injections or something.
Nick just chimed in. Yeah. He's like testosterone injection. It must be that or something, because, again.
I need more tea.
Again, like, I'm only 32, and I know that's, like, nothing, right? And, like, know that I still have another half of my life to live. But I'm like, what do I do about being so tired and unmotivated all the time?
Alex Dora, you're totally right. Now we're just trying to fitness chip cookie in her mouth.
And now I don't know if I – because I do a lot during the day. We all do a lot during the day, right?
And you actually still, like, go and work out.
Gee.
I try. That is absolutely horrible. That is not, that's not the answer.
Not, so, you are not wrong.
Are you saying that G's not wrong either? What are you laughing about?
No, I'm just saying what you're feeling is not wrong. I will say, as a 42-year-old male.
Did you feel this way in your younger 30s?
Yes, I felt exactly that. So here's the deal. Augie, to this day, will wake up at 6 o'clock. Jump out of bed, run down the hallway, jump onto the couch to turn on the TV. Like, that boy runs everywhere. And Carly and I made that comment. We're like, he runs everywhere.
That's
and
a conscious decision.
But I remember being like that when I was little, where I just ran. You just ran. And maybe you were barefoot. Maybe you had on shoes that didn't really fit or weren't put on your feet properly. Like, you just stuffed your feet in some shoes, and you just took off running. And that was, I remember that. And then I remember when I was a teenager, I remember sleeping more. Like, I remember always waking up at like 6 a.m. and never having a problem, just waking up, no alarm clock.
Yeah.
And then I remember when I became a teenager, I started sleeping till like 8, 10, 12 on the weekends. Like, just couldn't get out of bed, just couldn't get up. And I remember that. And then I remember in my 20s or high school years and 20s realizing, like, oh, I didn't get enough sleep and I'd be tired in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And going like, I wonder if this is because I didn't get slit, like in my brain thinking that. And then in my late mid-30s, about your age, I started feeling tired, like from work, like exhausted and going like, oh man, I got to catch up on sleep, or why am I feeling so tired? But kids drain you, babies drain you. They take that. You got to remember, you gave up 50% of your DNA for that child. So it's pulled some of your energy out of you. You had to take part of you out to make that baby.
And I realized that, right? I realized that. But, I mean, I was honestly feeling this way even before the baby, though, right? I mean, like, I've noticed here within the last...
I think it's age. So it's got to be
an age thing. But I'm like, I'm very concerned because I'm like, well, hey, I guys still got, like, hopefully another maybe 100 years to live with technology improving. So, I mean, with that said, you know, what am I going to do?
Because it's too early for that.
Because, like, artificially, right, what do? You could just drink a bunch of caffeine throughout the entire day, right? And then that starts kind of biting you in the butt.
You develop the dependence.
And then you develop the dependence. And honestly, it's like, you know, what can you do? And then I thought, well, maybe, you know, start eating healthy or, you know, really start focusing on those type of things. But I'm always hungry all the time. And so when I eliminate some food, what's a great way to stunt my hunger? Oh, caffeine, right? Well, I don't want to drink all the caffeine because I already have like a mild heart arrhythmia, so I'm probably trying to stay away from that. So I'm trying to like go think about what did I do when I was younger that didn't involve energy drinks. But I don't know if it was just literally just a matter of youthful energy.
But what about think of it in these terms?
I think
maybe I'm about to take it down a horribly dark path, but let me just like consider this for a moment. When you're young, when you're a little kid, you're Augie running around. You run everywhere because the world is still a big mystery. Everything is exciting and new and fresh, and there's always something waiting for you. Oh, man, every crazy opportunity, even when something sucky happens, you're still going to be fine because guess what? There's going to be tomorrow.
You just got
to
keep
And then as you age a little bit,
things
start to become less of a mystery. There's new things that are happening for you. And eventually you're in less of a rush to get those places because the inevitable disappointment is just waiting on the other side of whatever journey you're making
place to another.
You're getting sadder. You're getting a little bit more depressed. Things are getting
horrible. Yes.
So... suddenly you're in less of a rush to get these places because you've lost that lust for life. You're not feeling that energy, that youthful vigor.
Yeah,
it's left you now. So here's something. Perhaps more than just the physical side of things, which obviously I need to work on. There's a mental side to it too. Being jaded and cynical, it makes you feel smart, makes you feel intelligent, makes you, you know, it's convenient because you'll never be disappointed if you just expect disappointment all the time.
But if you
turn it around and you actually consider the opportunity for growth, something positive, maybe there's something you didn't know, maybe you want to learn something new. If you can find ways to motivate yourself to actually be interested in things again, really develop, you know, renew that youthful vigor, that thing you lost, bring it back, get interested, get excited, learn something, you might be able to reclaim some of that energy. And it comes from a place that isn't just physical battery. You got to work on yourself mentally too. You got to get yourself back in the cycle, because I, for one, am an incredibly, deep down, I'm a very cynical, jaded person already inside my brain, and I tend to have very sarcastic thoughts all the time. But I find if I can just turn that off for a moment and think about something and go, well, what if something positive happened? What if something good happened? What about that? I find just that little dose of that, like, oh, it's a little spark. It's like, oh, I feel good. I feel a little bit better. Maybe I'm more interested in giving this a shot. If I can do that and just make a habit of like, okay, for every cynical thought I have, I need to have at least one positive thought mixed in somewhere. Kind of make it a little better. As you get older, you need to find more opportunities for that. You need to build on that. So I think that could be a good takeaway. I realized you and I are only in our early 30s, but at the same time, there's a lot of life left to go. We got to work on this.
Is this why you bought a houseplant?
Houseplants make me feel
good. Okay. We have some great comments in here. So we got Humberto saying that, you know, he sleeps for 4 to 6 hours a day, and then a little siesta after lunch, and then good point from Dane. And as G. Davis says, as a 50-something, what does he say? As a 50-something, I can definitely tell you youthful enthusiasm is old guy bitterness and soul-crushing. Jeez, oh, my God, that is just horrible.
So...
that's a. These are all great points, but I will just tell you, a lot of it is just age, getting older. But you're right, Dane. Find something that makes you excited and happy, and you enjoy it, and you like doing it, and it keeps you feeling young.
And for some of our audience, but, that's discovering detailing, getting excited about detailing. Well, it's something new to
they don't know. Here's something that gets us excited, and I don't know if I am remiss in bringing this up, but yesterday, the three of us got into a deep conversation about bags.
Yes.
Yeah. Backpack.
Hot bag talk.
I'm not starting this again.
Hot bag talk 3.0.
We did talk about that. Yeah.
It was hilarious to watch the team freak out about it because they're like, no, you're not bringing this back. But Anthony had some great points. Dane had some great points. I had some great points. And it was fun to, bring that back. And it's doing things like that. Same like you say, Dane, with detailing and people finding stuff. That, like, you kind of get excited about it, You start hunting for stuff. Same with going to the junkyard. You go on your little Easter egg hunt, so to speak. You find the things that you enjoy, things that you like. That's what
become
keeps you
going. Become an enthusiast about something.
Right.
So what's the hardest part about all this that you're saying, though?
Yeah.
The hardest part that it's very hard for me to grasp about this. I have too many hobbies right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have too many things I can be excited about.
Perhaps,
but
you
I don't
narrow down the breadth.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
And you focus on something that you can dedicate more effort and time to, just down one or two paths.
Well, I would like to
be
a good father. That's my main.
Now, that should be your goal, right?
And like I said, my daughter brings me an immense amount of happiness.
But you also
need
an outlet.
An exploding amount of inner happiness that I get from being a dad. But I will say though that I try to,
Jeez, why did I put that on the I looked, I was like, oh yeah, let me put that up, and I'm like, oh,
oh my god,
oh man,
oh,
that was awesome.
So being a good father is a racist gene. Well, hey, let me try it out. I'm gonna try it out for maybe 18 years, and then after that
gonna disappear for cigarettes one day and never come
back.
Well,
at 18 everything is
okay.
But, I mean, like, let me try it out for 18 years, I'll see how it goes. But I think, though, that to your point, Dane, I think the world is much more exciting. I think your outlook as a younger person, because you have – the world does have a lot to offer, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you'll go through a lot of ups and downs in that process of finding that. And in high school, right, your biggest thing is, I can't wait to get out of high school. I can't wait to see what life is after high school. And I could see how some people after high school might go into a deep, dark hole.
There's a part of their brain that goes, oh, my God, I want to go back to high school. Well, please, take me back to high school. I don't want to leave now.
I kind of felt like that when they're like, hey, you got to go to college now. I'm like,
you meet some people in their 40s who are still living in that high school mindset. And it's like, oh, my God.
I got to go to high school. I got to go to college. I'm like, I was just getting good at high school. Now you got to go to college. But then there's people that go into the workforce after high school, right? And that is their rest of their life. Right, in whatever shape or form that may look at, which is maybe not a bad thing.
People find a point where they settle at different points, and then they maintain that mentality throughout.
But then even in college, right, you're going through a tough time in college because just college is difficult. Yeah. But you still have a positive outlook because you go, "Wow, what's life like after college?" Right, life can get pretty good, right? And let's just say they get their degree for their dream job, whatever it was, and then they find out their dream job is just sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, and
it's not what you imagined.
In a cubicle, and they say, "Why did I want to become an accountant? This is the worst thing I've ever done. And, I have money, but I hate my job," or whatever it is. Right?
Yeah,
so then they do that. But so then you probably do start searching for hobbies, and you do start searching for things outside of that are going to bring you happiness. And like I said, the things I do bring me a lot of happiness. That doesn't take away from the fact that I'm still pretty tired all the time now. And I'm, and I don't know. I think what it is is I wake up in the morning. It's really strange. If I sleep for more than 7 hours, I wake up, I feel like I got hit by a train.
Yeah.
Right?
And I go,
oh my God, I can't wake up fast enough. I can't be motivated and get up fast enough.
But if you wake up too early and then you're expected to go do important stuff right after that, I almost feel nauseous in the morning doing that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a window where you gotta acclimate, all
right.
Yeah.
I find 6 to 7 hours of sleep, but I can't do naps because I feel like I'm messed up. I feel nauseous. I feel sick.
I can't take a nap either.
A nap.
A nap A nap wrecks me, man. And so I can't take a nap for sure.
So I will say,
yeah,
real quick, that's the biggest thing that I'm worried about our UK trip, our Europe trip, mm-hmm. is, yeah, I don't know if it's this year or what, but I worry about not getting enough sleep and running on less sleep. I worry about taking naps and feeling like garbage.
Yeah.
And we're going to be pretty much hard packed for this whole trip. So that's the kind of stuff that I actually worry about. And I went to the doctor yesterday, had a full physical, and that was one of the things I discussed with him because of some of the issues that I have. So I wanted to make sure, like, what do you think? I want to see what all my stuff is before, because that's the worry I have. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And so,
sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, going back to the really quick, that's a good point. But going back to, let's just say tomorrow, Dane.
Yeah.
You're buying a new car, right?
Oh, boy.
Tonight, right? Tonight. Are you going to sleep? You might sleep, right? But you're going to be excited about tomorrow, and you're going to wake up tomorrow with a bunch of energy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So how could you have that same energy every single day, like you're getting a new car tomorrow, or you're getting your favorite toy, or you're getting your something tomorrow?
You got those butterflies. You know,
every
you
single
got those
day,
jitters.
Right? And like I said, we love our jobs here, and we love coming here, and yeah. We have all of our friends that work here. That doesn't still take away from the fact that, you know, we still get tired in the morning. And so, like I said, I've been trying to think of ways to figure this out non-artificially to where I'm not just injecting myself with more and more caffeine and coffee and all that. Yeah. I try to figure out what you can do. Oh, yeah, Nick, I can't say that on the feed. But so I don't know. Just something to think about, which I thought is just kind of an interesting take. And I think that Mean B says, you know, too many hobbies is can also be a problem. Where honestly, I kind of envy those people who. How do I say this? Without, I don't want this to sound bad, but the guys that don't have hobbies, like there's people out there, you know, men and women, or, you know, just people in general that don't really have hobbies. And when they find that new hobby at a particular age, right, maybe that they're in like this kind of dull area of their life and they find this new hobby and they get all the joy and passion for that new hobby and they get years of enjoyment and maybe years of education, whether it's in detailing or whether it's in, you know, cars or whether it's maybe they're into mountain biking or maybe they want to go be a professional magnet fisher, whatever it comes in. I think that I envy a lot of those people because at this point I have a hard time letting go of the hobbies that I love for potentially something different or just fear of, you know, me not being able to be myself with the same hobbies that I still like.
Sure.
But like I said, I just have too many and I can't really pick up any more. But like I was talking to Levi, I really would like to get a mountain bike or some type of bike. Maybe I can start biking. Me and Katie can take, you know, Lucy out,
seat,
whether it's in one of those trailers or whatever it is, and go for a nice fun day of biking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, well, is that another hobby or is it just something you have?
But
right,
see,
because
that's a group
I have a hard
activity.
Time separating. I have a hard time not buying a bike and saying, "Well, let's make this bike cool."
Yeah,
that's my problem.
Right.
And now that becomes a hobby, and I'm going to research everything. I'm going to buy all these parts or whatever it is to make this bike look cool. And I can't just have a bike, just like I can't drive a stock Corolla or I can't go out and buy a Honda Accord and not do anything to it.
Yeah,
it's a very hard thing for me.
So that's also. That's also hard, and especially becoming a father and having children and having to figure out, you set aside, both you and your wife set aside your personal hobbies for a while, because you now have the child to focus on and you're the children. And so you do have a tendency to set that stuff aside. So I fell in that same trap, Anthony. I started selling cars to, you know, just thin the herd. Because it was like, I don't have time. I don't have time to work on this. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to put into that. So I have to get rid of it because it's not worth it for me to just let it sit. So I would take the money and try and find something else to do. And that's where getting back into bikes. Bikes were easy. I could do trailers. I could do baby seats. I could do all kinds of different stuff. That's when Carly and I figured out we liked riding a tandem bike. We put a trailer on the back of that tandem and we went for a ride and it was actually something fun that we both enjoyed. We argued because that's what those are marriage bikes, right? You gotta be ready for that. But that's something that you do find. And hobbies. I was welding almost every weekend before Hadley showed up, and I was building furniture and I was building pieces and things for folks.
And I just didn't have the time to go over to my dad's and weld. And I enjoyed doing welding and stuff. That was something I really enjoyed. That was a way to relax. It was a way to kind of let my mind, you know, chill out. I stopped doing it because I just couldn't take the time away from the house or the family, and I didn't have it anymore. And so me welding my bumper in my garage is literally the first project that I've been able to do in over 11 years where I've actually gotten to weld. But even then, I don't have a lot of time. That bumper's still in pieces. It's not fully done because I don't have time to do it, and I'm piecemealing it. So yeah. It is part of the life. It is part of life. It is what's going to happen until your kids are old enough to be self-sustainable before you can find them. And that's why the UTV market is so hot right now, and yeah. The travel trailer market is, because people are finding things ready to rock. God dang it. That is hilarious.
But that's
what happens. Yeah. People get to a point where their kids are finally self-sustainable in the sense that they can go do stuff or they can do their stuff on their own. And that's when they're buying. That's the joke of the midlife crisis. That's where you go, oh my gosh, I've spent this long, last 15 years, taking care of my kids and being a parent.
Yeah.
Okay, the kids I don't have to worry so much about. Now I want to do stuff. And that's also the same thing with relationships. People get to that point in their relationship where like, man, we focus for so long on just taking care of the kids, we don't really get along. And so people, that's when they get divorced. That's when they start finding new things that they like doing. It's life. It's how it just works.
And it's so, like there was slack, and then it eventually gets tightened and it snaps.
Yeah, and a lot of times that can happen. Or that's when people are like, yes, our kids are finally gone. It's our turn to do stuff. And so that's when you've got families and couples that are buying properties, and they're traveling, and they're going. They're doing all the stuff that they've been thinking about wanting to do. Or they finally have the money to do the stuff too. You know, my dad, that was when he started buying trucks. So he started building his hot rods. So it's going to get there. And yes, you are going to have some replacement therapies going through basically with different hobbies that you are going to be bringing in, but it's going to be part of it. It's just life changing.
Very interesting. So. And it makes me look at, I also look at kind of other people and I go like, how the heck do they do it, right? Because you're interested, right? You're like, how do you manage all this? Mm-hmm. And how do you still do all these things to be able to make this work? And so one good example would be like Matt Mormon of Obsessed Garage, right? Like, you know, how does he run the business, but how does he also, you know, have the cars and have the shop and build garages and have his kids and have his wife and have a family and have the house stuff? You kind of just wonder, like, how the heck do you fit all that in there? Right, because it there's a lot you're undertaking, and is it a sleep thing? Are you just not sleeping? Are you like, how do you make that kind of stuff more realistic? Because especially when it comes to like filming and videos and all that, it's a whole nother project. And so you just kind of wonder, you know, when you look at other people, or I have friends too, like I said, who are really have like really strong hobbies but also started families, but like they're still, you know, in the gym for 3 hours a day, every single day. And I go, how the heck? So you got off of work, and then you worked out for 3 hours, and then, like, you went home, and, like, in... You, then,
and your
like,
spouse and, was okay
and,
with that?
And, like, and then you became, like, and then you were a dad and husband for, like, a couple hours? Or how does that work, right? Like, it just makes me wonder, like, how do you fit all this stuff in and still be able to manage that stuff? Or is it that they aren't really managing it, and it's just kind of they're going through the motions? Yeah. And it makes you just kind of wonder, like, how the heck do they make that stuff work? Because, again, like I said, you know, between cars, myself, my, you know, cars, motorcycles, trying to maybe cook food, right, instead of order food. Also, you know, do some side stuff and content, maybe take photos, do whatever else I do, photography, videography, and then I try to go to the gym, and then I also try to ride the motorcycles I have, and then I try to be, you know, a dad, and all, you know, all these different things, and a husband, and you kind of wonder, holy crap. You know, how do you fit it all in, right? And again, I think to Levi's point, you gotta start letting some stuff go and replacing it with other things for a while. It's hard because you find that some of those things are who you're. Mm-hmm.
You think if you give up any part of it, you're never going to get it back. Well, but the reality is, you can totally
it's a fear.
It's identity thing, because you're like, well, but that's who I've always been, and that's who you know. I still want to be that person, but I still also need to adapt and evolve and become a better person for other people. But you just don't want to lose, you know, who you really are, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, like, you know, with moms, right, that have children, they go through their identity crisis of now they are a mom, right? They're no longer their own person. Now they have this child that, you know, they have to care for along with, you know, the father, and that's a whole thing.
Well, they're also the worrier, really. Most of the time, the mom is the worrier of the family. So they worry about everything when dads don't really worry about that stuff. So they have that on them.
Joey says, my energy levels significantly increased after having heart surgery. I was 30,
Whoa. But
ended up with that teenager energy again.
Heart surgery at 30, boy.
Joey, tell me about this heart
surgery.
I'm going in. Like I said, I have a mild arrhythmia. I don't know if that would solve my, I don't think that would probably solve my issue, but dang, that would be pretty sweet. So,
that'd be great.
Anyways, I thought this was an interesting talk because
we
kind of went down a tangent of maybe talking about, you know, feeling old or feeling fatigued, and then kind of going into maybe a darker path from Dane. Thank you, Dane. And then even darker path from G. Davis, and then maybe kind of ending up with our discussion on hobbies, which I think is interesting. Yeah. So it's stuff to chew on, and you think about it. And I don't know. I don't think I'm alone.
That's my
favorite
kind of podcast, though. I hope the viewers feel the same way, is that, you know, once in a while, we got to have like a little deep dive. And you guys, throw your comments down below if you're watching, you know, later down the road and you're only just seeing this episode maybe a month from now or something. Leave your comments below. Like, what's your experience like?
Yeah. I don't know. Make, like I said, do some intro personal thinking, right?
Introspection.
Look within yourself and see how you've changed, or maybe see, you know, what things that you maybe feel like you're, you know, maybe need to change or whatever it is. And like I said, I'm gonna try to eat and healthy now for like 4 or 3 days right now, and talking like back to like a pretty like strict diet, and I'm gonna try to sustain that for a little while. I'm trying to just drink water. Trying to cut out some energy drinks and cut out caffeine, see if that improves my energy, and then hit the gym. I hit the gym tonight as well, so we'll go from there.
Thanks, G.
Dane Stark.
Joey explains, had a leaky valve, but the engine is running great again.
Heck
glad to hear it, Joey. Glad
good.
You're okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great way to round us out. Anything left to add before we go today?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure everybody understands and remembers we're doing an open house at TRCEU May 30th. Mm-hmm. So please, if you're listening in Europe, come visit us. We'll be in Hengelo, Netherlands at the ragcompany.shop or ragcompany.eu. Come see us. We're going to be hanging out. We'll be signing autographs, kissing babies, but we'll just be spending the day with the team there. So we want you guys to come on out, say hi to us, and then come see us at Wackstock this year in the UK. So
those are the two opportunities for our European friends to see us.
Yeah,
so take advantage.
Yep.
All right. Dane, take it away.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been an enlightening conversation. Really enjoyed this, and I think our viewers did, too. It was fun to hear different people's stories. So you're welcome for a little darkness once in a while. We kind of need that just to make the light seem that much brighter. So you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And, of course, if you're not subscribed, I ask, please do that right now. Hit the thumbs up. Helps us out. Gets more views on these things, and we can keep this train rolling. So, of course, later this week, don't forget to tune in for Q&A Thursday, because we will have special guest Dave Phillips in the house answering your chemistry-related questions. That's going to be a lot of fun, too. So don't miss it over on the main Rag Company channel. We'll catch you guys later this week. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.